You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business. Super excited and honored for today's guest. Ryan Kuhn is the co-founder and CEO of Avail. They're an all-in-one software solution designed for do-it-yourself landlords. Prior to Avail, Kuhn was an investment banking associate at BMO Capital Markets. I'm excited today to welcome to Making Bank.
Thanks so much for having me. Really happy to be here and talking with you.
For sure, Ryan. So I guess give us a little bit about your background initially, how you got started as an entrepreneur, if it just, you know, happened when you were a kid, if it was something that happened down further down in life. So kind of fill us in there.
Yeah. So my quick background, I grew up in a family of small business owners. So my parents were in the insurance business. They also happened to own this like fall festival pumpkin patch business. So I got a sense for entrepreneurship really early on. Knew it was always something that I wanted to go into. But while I grew up in the Midwest, went to school at a Big Ten school, University of Illinois, studied accounting and finance. And at that point, I made the decision to actually go the corporate route first.
Okay.
To really try and get some experience, get my feet wet, drink from the fire hose, learn as much as I could for the first, call it 3 or 4 years out of school.
Right.
And then at that point, you know, I really stopped learning. And that for me was the moment where I said, look, I'm no longer learning. I'm no longer bettering myself. It's time to go do something different. And at that point, really started thinking about, okay, what's next? And that's when I became obsessed with the residential rental market here in the US, where I happened to own a couple of rental properties myself. I started looking at how I manage properties, how my friends and family manage properties. And I was like, this is so archaic. Using spreadsheets and pen and paper is so 1990s.
Right.
And ultimately then decided to go out and start this company called Avail that I'm running today that ultimately helps all of us as small business owner, entrepreneur, part-time DIY landlords better manage their properties and their businesses.
That's cool. So yeah, I mean, it was obviously a need, you know, that you saw in for just your own business and everything with the rental properties that spawned into that. I mean, do you have any kind of software development background, or is that something you're like, all right, I'm just going to go find the people and build it?
Well, that was the crazy part. And so for context, today there's about 180,000 individual landlords across the country who use our product.
Wow.
So it works really well. There's 500,000 renters using Avail every month to pay their rent and stuff. You ask a great question. How does one go from finance and accounting to running a software company? And the part that I skipped over there was the 2 to 3 year period of actually learning to code.
Okay.
So actually spent probably almost three full years just heads down learning Ruby on Rails, learning HTML and CSS. At that time, it was 2012. And I had convinced my co-founder, Lawrence, and Lawrence at the time, he was at Goldman Sachs, kind of best in class Wall Street bank.
Right.
And Lawrence had this great job. And I said, Lawrence, look, you got to come join me. We're going to build this company together. We really decided, okay, we're going to pool together a little bit of money and we're going to build this product. And we said, look, we can either go one of a few routes. We can, number one, we can just hire people to build it for us. Or number two, we can actually take that money that we would have paid those people and we can actually kind of in a circular way pay ourselves while we're learning to build the product. And that's what we ultimately did. And we said, look, even if this doesn't work out and if this product, this business that we're starting isn't successful, at least at that point we'll have skills that we could take and apply to something else.
For sure. Yeah, no, that's huge. And that's, you know, and that's interesting because understanding and learning it, you know, and figuring out the whole coding and all that, especially, you know, when you had no background in that is huge. And I think that also allows you to, if you do end up at some point, you know, if you've hired developers or anything like that, you obviously then know, hey, this is actually going in the right direction or it's not, just for more of a self-check on what's happening with the software.
Yeah, for sure. It can look in the code base and call BS if something's not built the right way. I think that's immensely valuable. We now have a full team and staff of professional software developers. But I think as a leader, it's really important to be able to connect and speak their language. That's something that I've found just garners a crazy amount of respect from our team, is when I can hop in on a Saturday afternoon and make a small change in the code base and actually know what I'm doing.
Right. Well, that's, I know, like with us and my wife, our one company that we have, Primal Life Organics, it's in the natural personal care space, she was running it for a long time while I had other businesses. And as they started to get more into more marketing, we were hiring consultants and things like that. And we were spending 50, 100K, but nothing was ever panning out. So finally, I was just like, all right, I got to learn it and figure this out. What is this whole internet marketing thing about? And then got super good and versed at it. Then now it was mainly, but like you said, the self-check, like, you know, are they doing the right job? Why are they not doing this? Why are they not doing this? Because if you don't know, you can't ask the right questions, as well as then also make sure you're protecting your capital and everything else.
Yeah, that's 100% right. And that's frankly kind of what we've done with every aspect of the business. So that we just talked about the product side, but even marketing and digital marketing and actually figuring out how do you efficiently go communicate with these landlords out there who are busy full-time doctors, bankers, attorneys, and they happen to own one or two or three rental properties on the side. I mean, that's who we're catering to. It's this like massively fragmented audience. And so every part of the business, we've really had to tear it apart, learn it, and then fortunately now we've got a team of people who are doing this and doing great work.
So how did you guys initially then go out there and start to acquire your customers, everything being brand new to the space and, you know, like you said, learning the coding and, you know, just you and your partner?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, it was a lot of trial and error. We eventually found a couple of things that worked. I will say our business is probably the quintessential power of digital marketing business.
Okay.
Where, again, there's 8 million individuals in the U.S. who own properties. They own single family homes that they rent out. But they've got full-time jobs. They're librarians. They're software engineers. They're firefighters. They're everyday people just like us.
Right.
And so how do you go out? And our product, importantly, is free. So, how do we efficiently at scale go out and start these conversations, build an audience, communicate with them, build our brand? Digital marketing. It works. It works really well, especially for us. I mean, last month alone, we added probably about 5,000 new landlords to our platform.
Wow.
I mean, you can't do that if you're sitting banging the phones and making making cold calls every day. So,
right.
Digital marketing, it works. I swear by it.
So, and one thing you mentioned in there, you said the software is free. So it's free to all the landlords. So where do you guys then, how do you guys make revenue? Because obviously you're not probably a charity.
Yeah, I mean, so it's 100% free for landlords.
Okay.
Landlords with unlimited number of units can use our product to manage rental properties. There's some small fees that we charge on things like payment processing.
Okay.
When renters apply and they pay for a credit and background check, we're marking those up a little bit. We make a little spread there. And then more recently, what's been really interesting is we're actually partnering with other big companies for things like renters insurance and cable and internet and all of these other adjacent services. They want to now tap into our audience.
Sure.
And so we've become this almost conduit for them to reach their target customers. So it's this really fun, we started the company really building kind of clunky functional landlord software.
Right.
And now what the business has morphed into is this end-to-end platform for both what landlords and renters need all in one place.
Are you guys then providing like ads inside like of a portal? Because I know there's like the Credit Karmas and all those different ones where it's all free for your credit scoring, but then it's like, okay, cool. Hey, you've qualified for this MasterCard or this loan or whatever. Is that kind of how you guys, or do you guys do more email, or what do you guys do then to optimize that or monetize that?
Yeah, I think Credit Karma, the company you mentioned, is a great kind of comparison to us, where I very much hate the word advertising. Like, I don't think we're selling ad space to our partners.
Sure.
What we're doing instead, though, is incorporating them in very native ways inside our product. So just one kind of quick example, you can imagine as a renter, you're going through our product, you review your lease agreement. You're excited. June 1 is a week away,
right?
And you're moving into this new rental property. You're inside a Vail, you're scrolling through the lease, you review the lease, and then you digitally sign it, just like DocuSign. And you hit submit, and the very next screen that you'd see within our product is, hey, congratulations, and confetti's flying all over the screen. And then it's this reminder, this lease requires renter's insurance. Click here to get it now for $8 a month.
Okay.
So we've built our partners inside our product in that way, where it doesn't really feel like advertising. It's just a native part of the product. You can think about cable and internet, where maybe the next screen you see is, hey, in Akron, Ohio, this is the go-to cable and internet provider. And click here to schedule the installation time. And those work really well, and partners are fortunately willing to pay us because those are high quality leads for them.
For sure. Yeah, no, and that's great how you have it set up. Like you said, it's kind of like, hey, this is that next step, you know, okay, oh yeah, you need renter's insurance, or, you know, if you need your internet or cable or whatever that is, you know, that you're going to need, here's that step, and here's how you go get it and secure that and everything. Kind of, I guess, along that journey, you know, from you guys initially coding it and building it to doing your own marketing, what were some of the challenges that you guys ran into that you're just like, man, I don't know if we're going to be able to get through this and move forward with this? How did you overcome that?
Yeah, great question. I mean, probably every entrepreneur you talk to has got their war stories and their battle wounds of things that they tried that didn't work. I mean, for us, I think early on, we made the mistake that every entrepreneur makes, really. And we said, look, we're going to focus on product first. We built the product, and then we started thinking about how do we market it? How do we sell it?
Okay.
In hindsight, and this is number one tip I share with every person I talk to is, and everyone in the audience should think this way, is rather than focus on building a product, build your audience. Instead of building your minimum viable product, which is what the lean startup methodology preaches,
right,
focus on building your MVA, your minimum viable audience. And you can do that through a blog. You can do that through an email capture. You can do that through, I mean, a podcast. I mean, all of these different ways that you can build your audience. And then once you've got that audience established and you've got people who trust you, then you can start thinking about layering on a product or a service or something else that you can bring to them. So not focusing enough on that audience was by far mistake number one. There are a handful of others that we've made mistakes with, but I would say like that's number one through 100, and then we start getting into like other problems that we've encountered.
That's cool. And then you know, with that, I mean, have you guys raised VC capital? I know you said you started and self-funded, or have you guys self-funded this whole journey, or what does that look like?
Yeah, fortunately, we have been able to raise some outside capital. I think for us, we're in a business, and the way that the business works and stuff, we have needed to take on some additional outside capital.
Okay.
We've got phenomenal partners that we've worked with. To date, we've raised about $5.5 million in outside capital from firms mostly in the Midwest.
Okay.
And most of that has gone into product development, in improving the software, improving the product that we bring. We also do invest pretty heavily in marketing.
Marketing.
And reaching our audiences is also an important component of the business.
And then how has that changed? You know, I mean, I guess with, you know, I guess a venture base backed people behind you. I mean, do you lose control of stuff? I mean, you know, how does that fit, you know, with you guys? Is there a lot of input from over here and where you guys are over here?
Yeah, what I would say is, I mean, a couple of things. So call it three things. Where number one, I think raising outside capital is not for every business. It's not for every entrepreneur.
Sure.
So
Because you hear
raising
it's all like that glamorous. Oh, we got to raise get our Series
capital.
A, friends and fan, or friends, and kind of go through this whole journey. And then it's like, wait, what happened? I don't own any more of the company.
I will say raising money is not the goal. You should not. I mean, when the money hits your bank, that's actually when the work begins. That's
Sure.
not a point to celebrate. Number two, we've been very, very lucky and fortunate to have great investors behind us. What I will say is, I just spend a lot more of my time communicating. In a sense, those outside investors are my boss now, where I do have to spend some amount of my time every month reporting up, where if you're the founder of a bootstrap business, you don't have to have that
Sure.
overhead, that oversight. Number three, what I'll say is, and this is somewhat related to number one, is I think outside capital can accelerate things, whether they're going the right way or the wrong way.
Sure.
So it just amplifies things in such a way that you're going to learn so much faster. Things are either going to work or they're not. And so maybe one month you invest, $50,000, $100,000 into AdWords because you've got investors that are telling you, hey, this is the right thing to do.
Right.
If it's not profitable, you're going to learn that really quick, as opposed to spending that $100,000 over a 12-month period, and it's more of a long, slow bleed.
Right.
Kind
Yeah,
of how
for
I answer
sure.
that. So
No,
just
that's
raising.
interesting. And I've kind of heard it a variety of different ways, but everybody always kind of comes back to that same point is like, hey, it's yeah, you now have that so-called boss, even though they may not control the company or anything else. It's, and their money's in there and they want to know what's happening with it at all times.
Yeah, and they, I mean, they've got a right to know that.
Right.
For people who've put in substantial amount of capital into the business, they're expecting to be invested in a business that's making the right decisions, is doing the right thing, and will ultimately get them a return on their investment.
So one thing, and especially right now with the whole pandemic thing that's been going on, it's kind of been blown up, throughout the U.S. and the world and everything right now. One of the things that I know that you went from like a high-paying kind of corporate job where a lot of people were in that position now, and starting your own business. Maybe let's kind of like focus on what were some of those challenges. How did you get through that? And how that can apply to people today, because there's a lot of people that are out of work right now, or maybe a lot of people that have had businesses that may have to end up starting all over again due to this. So.
Yeah, well, I think for me, I've been fortunate slash unfortunate, depending on how you look at it, where the last big crisis, the last recession here in the States was 08, 09.
Right.
That was primarily a banking crisis. I was at the time working for a large bank. So that was, I had kind of a front row seat to what was happening then, which I think has caused me to have a slightly different mindset going through this current crisis, where especially now I can look at the current situation. It's awful what's happening. I think we're right now approaching 100,000 deaths in the US. It's tragic. But I think what we all have to keep in mind is we will get through this.
Right.
Like there is light at the end of the tunnel. I think that fortunately, big drug manufacturers are working on a vaccine and stuff. I think for individuals who've been impacted, whether it's a layoff or a furlough or kind of a reduction in hours, the thing that I would say and encourage people to do is think about what skills. I mean, you now have a lot more time on your hands. Invest in yourself. Invest. Go out, learn different things. Take advantage. I mean, just consume as many podcasts, as many blog posts, as many books as you can. I mean, whether it's things around digital marketing, whether it's software development. I mean, these are skills that are in high demand. I mean, we're currently hiring. We can't hire enough good, talented, smart people right now. So, I mean, like go invest in yourself. Get like learn as much as you can. recognize that there is light at the end of the tunnel. We will get out of this as a country. And I would just say, use this as an opportunity to stay positive. Keep investing in yourself.
Yeah, I think that's huge, because a lot of people, I think it was like Netflix's, you know, demand spiked, I don't know, 80%, or I don't remember the exact statistic, but somewhere in that range. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, focus on you, not what that content that's being provided to you, you know, that's just going to eat up your time and your hours and everything else. And, you know, like you said, training and going through learning. And I know a lot of friends that I have and things like that. I mean, a lot of people put out their courses for free. Just, hey guys, look, normally we charge this for it. It's free right now. You guys go consume it. Learn a new skill, start doing something to, you know, better who you are and improve your situation. So when you come out, when this, you know, cycles through and you come out of it, you're going to be in a way better place than you were going into it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it's all about. I mean, ultimately invest in yourself, whether it's learning, I mean, go out, work out, get in better shape. I mean, all of the things that we normally wish we had more time to do.
Right.
If people in the audience have been impacted, which is really unfortunate, I mean, use it as an opportunity to stay positive and just build yourself.
Have you guys seen a shift at all in the real estate market or with rentals or, you know, through, I mean, obviously you guys have a huge base of people, whether they're small ones and twosies to probably tens plus type landlords and everything. Have you guys seen a shift anywhere in there? What are you kind of seeing from the real estate side of things?
Yeah, great, great question. And we've got a lot of really interesting data. I mean, we're processing rent payments from renter to landlord every day. And so we've seen a lot of interesting trends. We've been publishing and sharing a lot of that data, both on our own sites, but we've also been sharing that with different state, local, national politicians,
okay,
and lawmakers and policymakers. So the couple of things that I'll say around rentals, number one, the obvious, things are becoming more digital. Whereas you may have gone out and toured a house or toured an apartment before signing a lease,
okay,
now that's being done virtually. What I'll say that is probably a little more interesting is the trends that we're seeing with rent payments.
Right.
And unfortunately, I think things are getting worse, not better. I think in March we had about a 10% delinquency default non-payment rate. In April, that ticked up to about 12.5%. And then in May, so far, we're sitting at about 16%.
Wow.
We expect that June will unfortunately be worse. So what I would encourage there is, whether you're a renter or a landlord, the things that we're seeing are just communicate.
Right.
I think unfortunately early on, there was this fear of, if you're a renter, you lost your job. And you go and you tell your landlord, like, you there's a lot of fear that you're going to be evicted and you're going to be kicked out. But what we're encouraging a lot of people to do is just have a open conversation, have that dialogue, communicate. I think landlords, by and large, and we've done surveys around this, landlords are willing to work with renters. They want to collaborate and find as much of a win-win solution as they can. So that's kind of what we're seeing. The other thing is, for any policymakers, any lawmakers out there, people need help. And renters, when they're given help, have continued to pay their rent. Mm-hmm. So the second week of April, when the $1,200 stimulus payments started going out, we actually saw a surge in rent payments that week.
That's great. Yeah.
So people who previously weren't current on the rent, they actually were taking that stimulus money and applying it for rent, which then means the landlord can turn around and pay the mortgage.
Right.
So lawmakers, policymakers, stimulus is key. Like, renters need it. Would definitely encourage more of that.
No, that's awesome. Well, cool. We just got a few minutes left. I guess tell people where they can get more information on the software. You guys, obviously, you said you're providing a lot of data and things to find, I guess, you and or the business.
Yeah. So people can come over to our website, Avail, AVAIL.co. That's our main page. We publish all of our COVID related content at avail.co/COVID-19, all one word, no dash. And then we're also very active on all the social media at Hello Avail. So come find us on social, drop by, say hello. We'd love to engage with you. And then I'm also personally very active on LinkedIn. Name's Ryan Kuhn. Come find me. I'd love to continue the conversation. Be helpful however I can.
Awesome. And then just maybe one last insight or a couple tips that you have just for everybody. It could be around right now or just in general that you've learned kind of throughout your journey.
Yeah, I think the key is learning. And I've mentioned that word throughout. I think for me personally, where I've gotten the most satisfaction through my career, through my journey as an entrepreneur, is continuing to learn. Also continuing to invest in others' learning. So everyone on our team, I spend a lot of time trying to help them learn, grow, and develop their own personal skills. So learning is key. I think now more than ever, just go acquire those skills. Invest in yourself. Go read all the great content up on your blog, Josh, or anything else that's out there. I mean, go better yourself. I mean, that's really what it all comes down to. Go make something, go learn something, just do it.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, really appreciate your time today, and honor to have you on the show, sharing those insights and everything for people to, take notes, guys. I hope you guys were taking notes. Make sure you go back, listen, watch this again, listen to what Ryan is talking about, and you can start applying this right now in what you're doing. If you're a landlord and you want some amazing software, make sure you really check it out. I mean, it's free. You can't go wrong there. And it sounds like it, from what you've described, it does everything from checking their credit and getting them set up to the leases to just the whole payments and everything. So again, Ryan, appreciate your time today and thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you again for having me. It was a lot of fun talking with you.
I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.